You can't delegate digital transformation for your company. You and your executives have to own it. Executives need to engage, embrace, and adopt new ways of working with the latest in emerging technologies. And that's where we come in. Welcome to Embracing Change. The business world is changing at a faster pace than it ever has, and companies need to keep up. We interview the most interesting CEOs, CMOs, and other executives to talk about their challenges with digital transformation in their industry. This is Embracing Change, and this is your host, Gerardo Carrick.
Welcome to Embracing Change, a podcast about digital transformation. In this episode, I interviewed Santiago Blanco, the Chief Marketing Officer of McDonald's Latin America. We had a great time talking about the challenges of digital transformation in the food and service industry, where he is an expert. We also talked about the trends emerging from the pandemic and some of the challenges that businesses of all sizes will be facing to survive going forward. So let's dive in. I am your host, Gerardo Carrick, and this is Embracing Change. I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Embracing Change. Our guest today is Santiago Blanco. Santiago is the Chief Marketing and Digital Officer for Arcos Dorados, which is basically the company that owns McDonald's Latin America. He joined Arcos Dorados in March 2019 and is responsible for designing and implementing the marketing and digital strategy across 20 countries and 2,100 McDonald's restaurants across Latin America. Prior to joining Arcos Dorados, he served as Chief Marketing, Digital and Communications Officer at Alsea, a world leader in restaurant operations with brands such as Starbucks. Prior to Alsea, he worked for the Coca-Cola Company for many, many years, where he held various leadership roles in Latin America, USA, and Japan. Mr. Blanco holds a degree in marketing from the Instituto Tecnológico de Monterrey, which is one of the top universities in Latin America, and an MBA from University of Texas at Austin. I know Santiago for many, many years. Hi, Santiago. How are you?
Hello, Gerardo. Very good. Very good to be here with you. Thank you very much for the invitation, and thank you very much for the presentation.
No, come on. I mean, for our audience, Santiago and I, we go way back. We've been friends, I think, for over 25, probably for over 25 years. We spent some time together living both in Atlanta when he was at Coca-Cola, and he's an amazing guest. You're gonna see through the conversation all of the insights and knowledge that he brings, but he's also an awesome guy. So thank you Santiago for being here. First of all, where are you connecting from? Let our audience know where you're located. I'm in Atlanta. Where are you?
Yes, well, right now I am in Buenos Aires. So I live here in Buenos Aires. I moved with the family about 2 years ago. Uh-huh. So we are enjoying obviously this beautiful weather. It's winter here. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful place, beautiful city, and now what a better setting for this conversation.
Absolutely, and you've lived all over the world, right? I mean, you live in almost all continents.
Yes, well, I had the opportunity, obviously, to live in Latin America, in Mexico, in Costa Rica, and now in Buenos Aires, also in the U.S., where we were together for a few years. I lived there 7 years in the U.S., and I also had the experience to live in Japan for a few years, and of course, it becomes very interesting in each place how to connect with culture, with the different traditions, with different consumers, and it's been really a journey of continuous learning for me. So.
Absolutely, and I find that fascinating, the fact that you've been all over the world working with brands that go all the way from consumer brands like Coca-Cola to restaurant chains, to school system, university systems. How does that feel, you know, as a marketeer, you know, just jumping from one country to a different country, from one industry to a different industry? That must be a hell of a ride.
Yeah, well, you know, change is never comfortable, but it's at the same time it's tremendously rewarding, no? Uh-huh. And I think that I feel myself as very fortunate because I have been able to do marketing, which is what I love. Mm-hmm. And I have been able to do it in different countries, like you said, and in different industries, like you said. And what you learn is that, you know, the premises to do good marketing are always the same. They, mm-hmm. they don't change regardless of where you are, regardless of what you are selling. It's really, really based on the same principles in any place you go with any product that you get behind. So with that in mind is how I have been able to transition from different cultures and different industries by focusing on kind of the key premises of good marketing, as I call it. You know?
Fantastic, fantastic. That's really, really interesting. So as you know, in this podcast, we focus on, it's a marketing podcast, but we really try to focus on the digital piece of marketing, right? Digital transformation. And the reason for that is because we see how the whole trend for businesses, you know, where the disruption is coming is from the digital end, right? So I wanted to talk about digital transformation in general, just because you have such a vast experience working across different industries and different regions, right? And you have such a long career. I would love to talk to you about digital transformation and just to define it for our audience, right? We're talking about digital transformation as the process of using digital technologies to create new or modifying existing business processes, culture, or customer experiences, right? To meet changing business and market requirements. So it's something that transcends roles or functions, right? But it's something that it's really in vogue right now, and it's affecting all sorts of businesses and industries. So I would just wanted to open up the conversation with you about digital transformation and your experience with it. I mean, are you seeing that across the different businesses that you've been working at?
Yes, thank you, Gerardo. I mean, it's a good question. It's a good point. I think that at the end of the day, digital is a place where many things come together in terms of a business, or many practices come together. So it's almost like the answer is digital. Now tell me, what is your question? No, because kind of almost everything goes to digital or has to go to digital. No? So for example, if we are to improve the customer experience in the restaurant industry, no? It has to go through digital. There is no way around it. No?
Oh, wow. Really?
Imagine that you want to order your food ahead of time so that when you arrive to the restaurant, it is ready for pickup, and you just scan your phone and you don't even have to take your credit card out. The payment is already there. You scan your phone and you get your food within a minute because it's already prepared. Mm-hmm. Or if you want your food to be delivered to your home, to your office, no, you can tap into your app, into your phone, and then you get the food within 20 minutes or less in the place that you want. Or perhaps you want to know about a new product, a new service. No, and you want more information, or perhaps you want to tell your friends about something new that just came out that you really like, and with that, you know, be socially relevant with your friends, with your networks. A lot of that is through technology. There's no way around it. I would find it very difficult to enhance the experience of a customer without using technology. That would be difficult.
Of course, of course. And it's interesting what you mentioned, because what makes me think about is it's not only related to the front-end customer experience, but it's all of the value chain that gets the product to the customer, right? So it's not only that last piece of relationship, but probably it's all the way from how you're sourcing your products, how you're putting them together, how you're processing the orders that makes that customer experience a better experience. On top of just being able for them to download an app and on demand choose when and where and what, right?
Oh, absolutely. The digital transformation takes place from not only the sourcing of the product, but how the product is actually produced, no? Or imagine if I'm selling potatoes, the way the crops are being laid out and how they are harvested. So digital transformation goes to that point, to the point where a customer enjoys that potato at a restaurant. And by the way, gives its opinion to other customers. So yeah, absolutely, it's throughout the let's call it value chain.
The value chain.
Digital takes place. That's why I say it's a place where a lot of things come together.
Of course, it's interesting the way we, when we talk to our clients, right, about digital transformation, we talk about like four different big buckets for digital transformation, right? One is process transformation, which is basically what are we modifying on the processes of our business that it's enhanced through digital technology, right? Another one is business model transformation. Is our business changing because of digital technology? Domain transformation, meaning do we have a different business now? Are we moving from one business to a different business because of it? And the final is cultural and organizational transformation. You know, what do we need to change in terms of our values, how we work, the people that we hire, the training that we do, in order to be able to meet these demands, right? So it's interesting from your your example, it seems that it's touching, for example, in the case of the food industry, it's a lot about process, a lot about maybe business model. What about domain and the cultural transformation?
It's a great question. I think that first of all, most companies that attempt a digital transformation are likely to fail. No?
Okay.
About 70% of companies that want to go there fail. No? Mm-hmm. And the reason I believe they fail is because of the following. When you're attempting to transform your business, about 10% of the effort is spent in designing the strategy, no? The strategic work in defining what is it that you want to do, no? In being clear in what is it that you want to achieve as a business, no? That's about 10%. Then another 30% of the effort is in putting together an organization that is capable of executing that strategy. No, mm-hmm. About 30% of the effort. However, the remaining 60% of the effort, no, and the vast majority of the effort, the most difficult thing to do is to have the right culture, mm-hmm. to change the culture, to really have the people think in the same direction and act in the same direction that you want. So you can have great people, very talented people in the organization, but without the right culture, nothing is going to be achieved, or it's going to be very difficult to achieve positive results. Mm-hmm. So what you're mentioning, I think, is key. It's very important to have the cultural piece in place in order to transform an organization, and more so to achieve a digital transformation. What am I saying? A lot of companies talk about digital transformation, but when you go to the people that really move the company, people that are in the front line, people that take care of the customer, those either they don't know about it very much, mm-hmm. or they don't know how to work with it, mm-hmm. or they don't see the value of it, or they don't believe in it. No, mm-hmm. So it's very common to see, you know, the board of the companies, the CEOs, the top level managers being very, very energetic about digital transformation. But when you go out and talk to the person that is taking care of the customer, it's not the same. And that's I think where companies fail. When the culture is not in place, mm-hmm. that's kind of the weakest link in making a positive transformation.
It's almost listening to what you're saying to me. I think it's almost about commitment, right? How committed are you as an organization to do this transformation, right? And if you're really committed, then you become very intentional, right? So it affects everything that you do. It's like when you're thinking, oh, it's a great idea for me to go to the gym, but are you going to wake up at 7 a.m., you know, go, you know, put
exactly.
the effort, right?
What is your incentive? No, what is your incentive to wake up every day at 6?
Yeah. No? Yeah.
And like we were saying in the beginning with moving in different countries and different, it's not easy. I mean, change is not comfortable, mm-hmm. no? Mm-hmm. For a person. Imagine for an organization, no? Mm-hmm. It really takes time. And like you said, with the gym example, you have to have the right incentives for mm-hmm. people to wake up at 6 and go
and
through
the effort,
which is not comfortable. Obviously, it's something yeah. that are not going to welcome right from the beginning. No?
Yeah. Something else that I've encountered personally with the businesses I've interacted is that sometimes change is difficult because businesses are having to straddle between their current business model and the future business model that they have to move to, right? So most of their revenue might be coming from their current business model that it's not digitally transformed, but it's still existing, right? And they know it's a sinking ship, or it's a ship that it's, you know, the revenues are dropping. They know they need to make the change, but it's hard because in the short term, we're incentivized by the stock market, right? That this year's revenue, this year bonuses, this year sales, right? Even though that we know that we have to make that change as a company to be able to survive in the next 10 years, in the next 20 years. Examples like that to me are TV networks, right? TV networks that, you know, they see, you know, right now, all of the big groups are moving to streaming or have moved to streaming. But, you know, 5 years ago, everybody could see what was going on with Netflix and Prime, but everybody was still protecting their current business model because that's where they were selling advertising. And until the other businesses became big enough for them to suffer on the revenue streams, then it was there was an incentive to move. So there's like a disconnect or maybe there is there are two levels of transformation, right? One is when you realize that your business is changing and you need to change. And the second one is when you're forced to change and hopefully it's not too late for you to change.
Yes, exactly. No, I mean, people don't like change, but they are not going to like being irrelevant either, mm-hmm. no? Or going out of business. They are going to like that even less. No? Mm-hmm. I think to your point, the pandemic forced a lot of business to transform very quickly mm-hmm. because they had no choice. So, I mean, from one day, literally from one day to the next, you were operating a different business, no? And you had to change because there was such a force that almost invited you to do so immediately, no? For example, in the case of the restaurant industry in Latin America, from one day to the next, more than 50% of sales went from being inside the restaurant to outside the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they have stayed in that area as of now. So most of the sales of a restaurant today are made outside of the four walls.
And even you know, I'm not sure what's the situation right now in Latin America. Have restaurants opened again?
Well, they are mostly open, uh-huh. yes. However, because of more than a year of people asking for their food in their homes or their offices, or people going through a drive-through in the car, uh-huh. or people going to takeout, mm-hmm. the customer has already learned how to do it. Mm-hmm. They like it, and they are keeping that behavior.
They're keeping that. Wow, that's interesting.
Even though if you open the restaurant, you still have a lot of sales. Most of your sales, in many cases, outside of what you used to do in the restaurant. So to your point about change, if you are not comfortable selling food for takeout or for delivery, if you're not comfortable with that or you don't know how to do it, you are going to run out of business very quickly, because yeah. your competitors are certainly going to do it. And so you have to change.
Yeah,
you have to change or just leave the business. No?
Absolutely.
But like that, I think that there is no one single industry that was not forced to change for good or completely go for another sort of business or another business model due to the pandemic. So the pandemic has really shaken things up globally.
It has accelerated innovation in a way too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like we said at the beginning of this conversation, digital has been at the center of how businesses have changed during the pandemic. And that's how, I mean, technology has enabled businesses to change very rapidly. Whereas imagine this pandemic 50 years ago would have taken a lot of time for companies to adapt to a new reality. No? So technology
Absolutely.
Is the difference.
Absolutely. Well, that's interesting. So what would you say are the main lessons learned from the pandemic in terms of digital transformation?
Yeah, so I think that the pandemic, what it did is that it accelerated different trends that were already brewing in the world. So the pandemic really took some of those trends mm-hmm. and skyrocketed them at a global level. No? So for example, this idea of what's called me and the others, no? This notion of, yes, it's about me, but it's also about helping other people, and it's about also helping the environment, the planet, no? Mm-hmm. And people being tremendously cautious of where they source their food, for example, no? And asking questions of, okay, so I'm gonna buy a hamburger. Where is that hamburger coming from? Where is the meat coming from? Where is the bread? Coming from mm-hmm. and asking questions not only about quality, which is obviously being around for a long time, but now it's about what is the impact in the environment of you producing this hamburger. Well, mm-hmm. those things we didn't have before, and it is through technology that you can not only answer those questions but also move your business into a more sustainable way. But mm-hmm. but really technology and digital is what allows businesses to do that. Another big trend that has grown tremendously is obviously this notion of families being very cautious where they spend their money. No? Because obviously the pandemic, even with stimulus packages in some countries in Europe and in the US, where people have a little bit more money, they are more cautious of where they spend that money. Mm-hmm. No? And it is through technology and through digital that people look up different products, different alternatives. They are better informed about products, about services. They are much better informed where they put their money. You know? But it is technology, and especially digital, where they get that information. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And obviously, one thing that the pandemic created is this idea of social craving. No?
Social?
Craving.
Craving.
Yes. So this idea of just wanting to be with people, no? Mm-hmm. You know, because we were separated for so long, now that I see someone at the office, it's like I haven't seen that person for more than a year. It's like I have seen that person through the screen, but now live is completely like a different experience. So this idea of socialization has took up tremendously, both virtually and personally, no, in real life. Mm-hmm. Physical, you know, and there is obviously technology that allows not only people to meet, but also people to meet socially, to meet mm-hmm. virtually, like right now, mm-hmm. you and I. You know? Mm-hmm. So again, it goes through technology, it goes through digital, the way businesses can embrace this as an opportunity.
Of course, it's interesting you mentioned that, because you know my wife, right, Monica? Mm-hmm. And she has partnered with a couple of organizations. She's in the wellness world, right? They work with people that have mental health issues or wellness issues, right? Which obviously with COVID have just jumped up to the roof, right? Because people, imagine young people being in an apartment for a year, afraid of seeing others, not being able to socialize, working from home. And, with working from home, what we've seen is that we have added on average 2 hours to our work days. So the commute, what used to be commute, is now added as work. People are just rolling off bed and starting to work. So that's kind of like a trend of what happened with the pandemic. Yes. And because I understand that world, what I've seen is a tremendous growth on companies like BetterUp or Modern Health, which are companies that provide this type of mental well-being services to big corporations, right? So all of the big corporations in Silicon Valley and all of the Fortune 500 companies are having to jump into providing mental well-being services digitally to their employees as a benefit, because of, because they've just realized that without mental well-being, you cannot be productive as a workforce. But all of that can only be enabled, because we're not face to face, can only be enabled through digital too, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I think for the last 6 months or so, I think we have been exposed in a lot more detail about this idea of mental health. No? Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw it during the Olympics. It was obviously a key topic. Mm-hmm. It is very common in athletes. And the topic of mental health has never been so high in the agenda. Obviously, what you said is true, it's part of the pandemic, but it is through digital and through technology that you can, if you see the opportunity as a company to overcome or help people in that particular regard. But again, it goes back to the same point. It is through digital that you can do that. Otherwise, it would be difficult.
It would be very difficult. Very, very interesting. So, talking about the main changes with consumers in recent years, what do you think, what would you say are the main changes, both in behavior, attitudes, expectations? I mean, you've talked a little bit about that, but can you go a little bit deeper on that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, one thing that is clear and is very, very central to this conversation is that the pandemic has given a lot of people big scale to digital. No, I think that the world advanced probably 7 years of digital penetration in just 1 year. Mm-hmm. No, because families were forced to enter in some way a digital experience. No? Mm-hmm. Talking about change, well, the pandemic forced people to enter digital and understand it. So for example, from people that never used to order food online through an app, no, like Uber Eats, no, 60% of Uber Eats customers after the pandemic were new customers that did not have the app before, mm-hmm. or that were not using an app in any way. Well, mm-hmm. The pandemic was the renaissance of the QR code. No, mm-hmm. QR codes were a little bit lost here and there. Now the QR code is everything. You go to a restaurant.
Touchless, yeah.
You pay with a QR code. You see the menu through the QR code. So QR codes are now, it's not only for young people that kind of understand how it works, it's for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody uses a QR code for something.
Interesting.
So the pandemic really accelerated digital penetration globally. So I think by about 7 years. So we advanced tremendously fast for so I think that is something that gives a big opportunity for basically every industry, because now the people are digitalized how do you leverage that for different businesses, no? Now also there is an interesting trend about people learning new hobbies, new ways of working, no? Because of the pandemic, it is said that you learn a new habit in about 3 months. So if you do one thing consistently for 3 months, you will get that behavior. But imagine doing it for a year, no? So we all, without exception, learn new hobbies and new ways of behaving, no? And this created, obviously at home, many ways of how families interact, no? Is going to make the families a little bit tighter, a little bit stronger as a society, because they now had to interact with each other for a long time, and also create the new avenues for growth. I mean, we can talk about gaming, no? Gaming obviously was there before the pandemic, but through the pandemic just completely skyrocketed. And it's not only the idea of playing a game online. That's not only the thing that really went up, is also this idea of socializing while playing a game, which is really the big thing about gaming. It's not only about, you know, being good at FIFA. It's also about socializing with your friends while you're playing FIFA. And that's really the key for gaming. And all those completely transformed during the pandemic, no? So I think when you look at different elements of human behavior, if you understand how they changed over the last year or so, you will find a lot of opportunities to grow your business. And the way you find them and the way you understand them is again through digital, no? That's how you can move forward faster as a company.
It's a fascinating topic, and you could add so many other things to that, right? Families that or people that have never purchased something online, and now they've tasted e-commerce and they're fully in, right? And
well, it's gonna supermarket,
no? Yeah, supermarkets, exactly. Supermarkets, subscription boxes. That's very common now. You subscribe to a service, you receive every month whatever you're gonna get. You've tested it, and now you are a converted, digital behavior. So if you were on the fence, it forced you to try it, and now you know it works, and now you want to keep doing it, right? So it's very, very interesting. And then it's interesting also how it affected even behaviors. For example, there's been an uptake in dog adoptions, right? Because people are staying at home, and people who are alone, they thought, okay, let's adopt a pet, right? So I don't feel alone. Guess what? One of the most accelerated growths in digital e-commerce have been a company called BarkBox, which is a subscription box where you get every month a box with treats and toys for your dog and surprise things that you're going to get. And you open that box every month for your dog, and you're pampering your dog, right? And they've just grown massively. They've just been acquired by I think Chewy or another holding company. But they went to, you know, they acquired 1 million customers at the end of 2020, right? So one trend that had nothing to do with digital, which is adoption of pets because of COVID and people feeling alone, opened up an opportunity for a startup to drive a very interesting business to acquisition. So it's interesting the opportunities that it generated for some, and also the doom that it generated for the retail business, right?
So yeah, well, with your example, I think it's good because you can kind of connect all the dots we were talking. You know, you have this pandemic, you know, making a big change in the world, being changing human behavior. You have more people staying at home in need for better mental health, no? And then you get the dog, which is obviously a way, a dog, basically what it means for humans is is a source of unconditional love, mm-hmm. basically, right? Mm-hmm. So you get your dog, and that dog creates a lot of, it needs a lot of things, obviously, and that creates businesses that that will give you those what you need for your new dog. Mm-hmm. So you see, so that is one small example of how, I mean, just, and it's through digital that you connect everything, no?
That you've connected all of that.
And like that, there are many, many, many things that happen at this, and all of them happening at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, fascinating. It's fascinating. So really, you know, it's about, you know, for our listeners, right? To me, the insight is about what human behaviors we're identifying as changing that are generating new opportunities for our business, either to pivot to satisfy those benefits, or for the creation of a new service, right? That is only open through digital, right? Because the barrier to entry for a market like that is very little, right? You can scale up through digital without that much risk, because you're going at your own pace, right? While before, the barrier to entry was you had to open a store, you have to fill up with the inventory, you had to market that store, get traffic to the store. Now all of that has been lopsided, and if there's an opportunity and you have a good idea, you can go to market and scale it up. So it's very, very interesting. I know we are over half an hour now in our conversation, so we're trying to bring this plane to land soon. So let me see. I have some topics here that I wanted to discuss with you before we go. In your opinion, what are the main marketing trends that we should be paying attention for, you know, this year, next year? Are those different to what we just discussed? Is there anything that you think we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, I mean, there are, and this will depend on the industry, no? But I think that every marketer should have clarity in terms of how has the customer changed after the pandemic, no? And there should be not a list of 20 things, but at least the top 3 to 5 things in which your particular customer has changed in after the pandemic. And if your company is not clear about that, then I think that you're either missing an opportunity or someone else has already identified how your customer changed and is going to do something or is doing something about it, no? Mm-hmm. So I think that's very, very important for every single company to recognize what were the 3 to 5 things that have changed in the minds of your customers. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example of one thing that has changed tremendously in the customers that we serve. And we serve about 4 million customers every day in Latin America. Mm-hmm. So we have a big consumption
big
base.
Footprint. Yeah.
4 million every day is the people that we serve. And one of the things that has changed in them is this notion of what I talked about before, this idea of how is your business being a positive influence in the community and in the environment, mm-hmm. no? Again, we have never received up to now, you know, the level of detail from customers about how we operate and how we go about doing our business. No? Mm-hmm. And the good thing is that we were well positioned in that regard. For example, like many other restaurant chains have done this, but we have eliminated most of the plastics we use to serve our food. No? We don't use plastic anymore in the containers, in the way we package the food, in the straws for the beverages. You will not find any plastic because we believe that we have to get rid of that particular item in our food. We took that out. We took out all the food that we serve for children, we took out all the added sugar, we took out all the artificial ingredients, we took out all the artificial colors, no? Mm-hmm. Because again, we believe that that's just the right thing to do. And we know that the customers' expectations have increased tremendously. Okay. When it comes to the food they eat. And again, if we know that if we don't do this, is going to be obviously not meeting customers' expectations. And in that same vein, the way you treat the people that work for you is also being seen with a lot of details, you know? Mm-hmm. How you train them, how you pay them. Mm-hmm. You know? What is the atmosphere that you give them at the restaurant level for them to perform a good job? You know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What conditions do they work? You know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What type of people do you hire and how you hire them? What are your hiring practices? You
know? Yeah.
All of those details that you know, can be seen as, well, that's for human resources only. Well, it's not true, because your customer at the end of the day now is better informed and knows about how you operate. So all of that arena about the environment, about your community is tremendously powerful nowadays. Yeah. It was strong before the pandemic, but nowadays there is a lot more information and a lot more desire from the customers to know about how you operate. You know?
Of course, also because of all of the digital channels available to us, there's a lot of more access to knowledge of what's going on within an organization, right? And you can read reviews, you can read employee reviews.
Totally.
You can have access to everything, and then that's going to affect your, we call it as a product when we talk to, or as a topic when we talk to our clients, reputation management, right? You know, what type of activities you're engaging to help your reputation management, because the reputation management, and that's important for a small business that, you know, if you're having bad Google reviews, and you're a restaurant, you're gonna lose customers that are not gonna come to your restaurant, because that's what they're going. Not only for a restaurant, if you're a mechanic, if you're whatever you are, you need to manage that reputation management, even though if it's just your Google reviews, right? And if you're a large organization, there's all different sorts of company reviews, employee reviews that are now accessible that people will read into and would be interested in, because people are now genuinely interested in learning more about who they do business with and who they buy their products from. So,
absolutely. And they were like that before the pandemic, but the pandemic completely took off because people had a lot of time at home, and they have been reading, they are informed, and they talk to each other. So you're totally right.
That's the key. People are informed right now. And if they're not informed, they have a desire to know, and they have the means now to find out the information that they need, which they did not have before. So let me go to a section that I love. I always find very, very fun this when we do it with our guests. I'm just gonna rapid fire some questions, and you tell me your answer quickly. Okay. So first of all, Bitcoin, boost or boom?
Boom.
Boom. Why?
Well, again, it has to do a lot with what people say. No, it's not. Part of it is reality. Part of it is what people say about it.
Okay.
And it's incredible how it can go up or it can go down, depending on who said something and when that person said it. No.
Yeah.
So incredible.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, based on your answer, maybe I should be selling my Bitcoins. So.
Well, make sure people talk about it in a good way, and it will continue to grow.
Exactly. Okay, TikTok or Snapchat?
TikTok.
TikTok?
Yes.
Why? Why do you choose TikTok?
Oh, I think that TikTok, what it discovered is the obviously is video based, which is, well, very, very powerful. And I think it's tremendously dynamic, mm-hmm. much more dynamic than Snapchat. If you don't get your viewer in 2 seconds, you're gone. Mm-hmm. That's it. And TikTokers know that, and they have really found a way of doing it. I love it. I think it's the future.
Okay. Airbnb or hotels?
No, it depends on what you want, and what you're looking for, and what kind of experience. I think that is not a substitute. It depends on what kind of experience you want.
And which one you think has a brighter future?
Well, again, if I let me give you the type of experience. If I am on a business trip, no, and I want to be super well located, and I want really to focus on my job and just get it done. I don't want to take care of anything else, not the location or that the apartment is good, or that I would go to a hotel, because that's a sure thing. No? Mm-hmm. Family vacation, new city, looking for adventure, completely different experience. Actually, a hotel doesn't make sense. I would go for it. Maybe, but again, it depends on the experience. Okay, so you're looking for. It depends what is the job that place wants, you want that to do for you.
Of course. No? Okay. So that's more balanced.
To be done, no?
Yeah, that's defined on the objective. Okay. Collaborative spaces or going back to the office?
No, well, that one is, I don't think it's black or white. I think it's I think we have to find the middle.
It's the same as with Airbnb. Like
going back to the office every day, no. Staying at home every day, no. Offices with everything open and nothing private, no. I think what we are learning is that the hybrid is really the way to go. Mm-hmm.
And the only question remaining is, what's the percentage, right? How much of home versus how much of office? But something that I've been thinking, and again, I haven't read any research on this, but I'm assuming companies must have realized that they don't need the 100% of the space that they have, right? They had offices, let's say if they had 1,000 employees, they would have a building for 1,000 employees. And now with this new normal, that was forced through the pandemic, they realize that actually I don't need to have the 1,000 employees at the same time every day coming back to the office. For some positions you need to, right? So some are operational, but you don't have to have all of them, right? So as a business, I can save on my office space. I agree with you, I might still need some office space. But can I make my office space like a collaborative space where people are coming in? Maybe there's hot desk in my office or my office space, and I behave as a WeWork in a sense that you don't have to be here every day, but you know, for the 2 or 3 days that you're here, you have a hot desk, you don't have a full office or a established desk, etc. I just think that I find that one fascinating to see how it's going to evolve.
No, and I think it's a very important one, because that one changes the real estate industry completely, mm-hmm. completely. No, and it changes the economies of certain cities. Mm-hmm. No, and it moves economies in a big way. I mean, you can see it in the U.S. No, the imagine the amount of people that are transitioning from states like New York or California to other areas like Texas or Florida. Mm-hmm. No? Mm-hmm. Because they can now do their job in a different location that perhaps is less intense, with maybe a better living conditions, with better weather, and yep. you don't need to pay a lot of taxes. No, so I mean that's what you're talking about is very profound, because it really changes the dynamic of entire countries. No?
Absolutely, it changes the microeconomies of those locations, right? So, or the ecosystems of those locations. So yeah, fascinating. Listen, Santiago, thank you so much for this conversation. It was a lot of fun to talk to you about all of these challenges. Is there anything, any last words that you would like to say to close off this conversation?
No, well, first of all, thank you, Gerardo, for inviting me. It was a lot of fun. Thank you very much. I am available anytime you want to talk. I enjoy it very much having these conversations. Digital is one of my passions, so really enjoy it very much. I would say that as a closing remark that really, if you are in a business, in a company that needs to embrace digital transformation, I'm saying needs because everyone needs to embrace it. I don't think there's a company that doesn't need to. You as a company don't have to do everything. You don't have to know everything, no, because that would be very hard. If you get in touch with, if you're clear in what you want to do, you can get in touch with different companies outside of your own that can help you. And if you have the right set of partners, you can achieve digital transformation a lot faster and one with a lot of credibility, no, with good results. No, so it's, again, it's not always a matter of you having to learn everything. No, you have to have clarity in what you want, and then just go to the right person, to the right companies to help you out. And that has been my experience. You can go faster if you have the right partners instead of you trying to do everything.
Of course, and that's a great point. I mean, everybody's is in this together, right? And everybody has different needs, and nobody's doing it perfect. It's almost like building a plane while you're flying it. And what I found is, us as a service business, right? We do consulting, and we help in this type of digital transformations, different clients, and we work with small businesses all the way up to some enterprise businesses. And what I have found that it's fascinating is the fact that everybody has a certain need. Nobody has it done perfectly. Of course, there's some businesses, probably the ones that are best in class, right? But it doesn't matter your size, your industry, or your maturity. We're all trying to figure it out, and you cannot figure it out on your own. You have to work with others, and that's where partners come in, and that's where all of these it's put together, right? So that's a very, very good point. Thanks for that, Santiago. Listen, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your insights. And we wish you a great rest of your day in Buenos Aires. Go and get a nice glass of wine and a good steak.
Absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. Un abrazo, Jerry.
Abrazo. Ciao, ciao.
Hasta luego. We'll be right back.